our Judeo-Christian faith. Augustine, a great saint, once said that the Old Testament, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Obviously here the verse, the passage, talks of the faith that started even in the time of the patristic period of the Jewish religion. Here in verse 39, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ commands that we must search the scriptures. Searching the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So when we talk of this Judeo-Christian faith, we have this first point that we can look at, and that is, it is a scripture-based faith. It is a faith that is based on what was written, even in the time of Moses and the prophets. So when we talk of this faith, it is not just a man-made faith. It is not a faith that was designed by a group of people. It was not a faith that evolved through time. It is a faith that was started even when the Lord revealed through the prophets of old, and it was written. It was written for a record. It was written and inspired and preserved for us. It was written so that we have a fixed record, that it cannot be changed, it cannot be broken. That this faith is not a faith that can be molded and be made to fit in every generation, so that when there is a new generation, it can be bent to fit what is needed and what seems to be required by that certain generation. It is fixed. It is written. By the way, when we talk of Judeo-Christian faith, let me clarify that this is not a faith that, well, we have first the Jewish and then we have the Christian faith, as if we are an outgrowth of this Judaism. It is, of course, a Christian faith, but it was started at the beginning, revealed as oracles, as the revelation of God given to the Jews, and then continued in the apostolic time. The whole Christian faith starts with the scriptures in the Old Testament, continued in the New Testament. We have one faith, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As was mentioned by Augustine, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Meaning, it is prophesied, it is foreshadowed, it is foretold in the Old Testament. And now, in the New Testament period, the Old Testament is revealed. Now it is fulfilled. Now it is established. Now we see it clearly. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the theme in the Old Testament, is the same Christ that we have in the New Testament. The Messiah of the Old Testament is the Jesus Christ of the New Testament. We have one book, we have one scripture that reveals one theme that is in the person of Christ. If you go to Israel, some of you have been there, and if you talk about the Old Testament, people or the Jewish people will be mad at you. What Old Testament? They don't believe there is a New Testament. Well, for us, we know there is this Old Testament, which we call Tanakh, which is composed of the law, the Torah, the prophets, which is the Nabiim, and the writings, which is the Kitubim, Tanakh. Torah, Nabiim, and Kitubim. This is the Old Testament for us, who knows that it is the prophecy, foreshadowing, foretelling of the coming of the Messiah in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we have the whole new, complete, perfect, preserved scripture before us, which is composed of what was revealed in the past and continued to be revealed today and perfected in what we have in the scriptures in the whole Bible as we have in our hands today, inspired and completed and preserved. So when we talk of a Christian faith that is based on the scripture, it is a faith that is fixed. It is a faith that is not something to be changed and malleable, or can be bent and can be redirected, or can be changed, because it is already fixed. And the Lord Jesus Christ says that it is this fixed scripture that we can come to Him. It is through the Old and the New Testament that we can come to Him. In the context, by the way, in this passage, when the Lord Jesus Christ there searched the scriptures, He was talking of the Tanakh. He was talking of the Old Testament. He was talking of the writings of Moses and the prophets. It is through this scripture that was written in the past by Moses and the prophet that you will know who I am. And for us today, who knows the Lord Jesus Christ with the revelation of the New Testament, we are more clarified and we know much, and we have this established faith which is based on that Old Testament scripture. We cannot come to Him without the Old Testament. There are some churches today who are so ultra-dispensationalist. When you think of dispensationalism, they are cutting, dividing the Bible according to times or generations or those who are recipients of such revelation. And so they say the Old Testament is for the Jews. The Gospel also was for the Jew. And therefore, for us Christians today, we are going to talk only on the epistles of Paul, which is for us the Gentiles. And those words for the Jews in the past are no more needed. And they are supposed to be abrogated. They are supposed to be taken out. And what they are studying are only the epistles of Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ is clearly telling us here. In verse 39, we know that in the period where the Lord Jesus Christ tells this to, or told this to the apostles or disciples, the epistles of Paul were not yet written. And we know that even this Gospel of John was not yet written. Although he was talking of the fullness of the scriptures in here, He was specifically telling them and directing them to look at the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is very important in our faith. We cannot just study, concentrate ourselves in the epistles of Paul, in the book of Revelation, or even in the Gospels. We have to also understand the Old Testament, for it is the basis, it is the foundation, it is the ground of our faith. If we don't understand that in 6 days, God created this universe in a literal 24-hour day. For 6 days, He created this, we cannot accept also of the miracles of Christ, of how He created things in the Gospels, as was mentioned or were mentioned in these four Gospels. We have to understand, we have to know that our God, who is the Creator, is the God who created the whole universe in just 6 days, with 24-hour literal days. And we have to understand also that through this Old Testament, in the first few chapters of the Old Testament, we understand that there was the creation of man, and there was the fall of man. Without knowing the fall of man, we cannot appreciate how we need a Savior. We cannot understand that we should be saved, because it was in that command of God at the very beginning that the moment you eat this forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve, being our representative of mankind, we know that through that disobedience, through that sin, we are worthy of such death, of such condemnation. It is only through this understanding of the Old Testament we have to see these important verses and narratives and doctrines of the Old Testament, so that we know how to live today and how we see the doctrines of the New Testament and appreciate its importance and significance. You will not appreciate John 3:16 without Genesis 3:15. There are many churches today who emphasize only on the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes. But that was a fulfillment of what was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Wherein God declared that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And that was in the midst of the sin of Adam and Eve. Immediately after they have fallen and disobeyed God, the Lord gave that prophecy. That's the love of God. In the midst of man's disobedience, in the midst of man's rebellion, in the midst of man's disrespect and his transgression before God, we cannot appreciate the love and mercy and grace of God without the Old Testament, even in the time of the book of Genesis. We cannot understand God's holiness and righteousness if we don't see how God will judge the world. We cannot even appreciate that God will burn and condemn this earth without understanding the flood that happened during the time of Noah. That's why many people today do not believe in the final burning of this earth, Because they do not understand and do not even believe that there was a global flood. And Peter used that to argue that there is this destruction of the whole earth. There will no more be flood. It will be fire. All because he understood and he clarified to us there was a global flood. And sadly, there are many Christian churches today who don't even believe in this global flood. They will say it was a local flood or was just a regional flood. And so without this understanding, they will not believe also what is ahead of us. Our deliverance from the bondage of sin and our walk in our daily life here on earth is a picture illustrated even in the Old Testament. We know how God delivered his people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. How God, in his mighty and powerful hand, delivered them out of the powerful Egyptians. And as they walked in the wilderness, and how God was so faithful to them in spite of their rebellion, in spite of their murmuring and complaining, God still provided for them. Don't you see that in your life today? Do we not see such kind of life that the people also during the time in their walk of for 40 years in the wilderness? That is also the kind of life that we experience today. I don't think you will disagree with me that in our life we still complain. We murmur. We question God. The same also as in the time of Moses. And in fact, in those days, they saw the very presence of God in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So also with us today. The very presence of God in his word is with us. We have the scriptures. We have the Bible. It's in our phone. It's in our house. And many of us, we have 2-3 Bibles at home. But yet, we question, we doubt. We're anxious of what God is dealing with us daily in our lives. So understanding the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness will also show us how we live each day today. Sometimes we are so judgmental to say, well, these people are so stiff-necked, hardened. They receive daily the manna, the water was always provided for them. The quails will always just fly and at the level where they can just hit it and then they can have the food. How they should be thankful and there should be no murmuring in them. But they did that. And so are we also. So understanding all these things in the Old Testament, how God provided them the promised land. And so with us also, there is that spiritual promised land for us. That land which we shall enjoy and to be there to abide forever with Christ, with God. And so also with all the prophecies of the Old Testament. So we cannot come to him without searching and knowing the scriptures. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, you will not come to me that you might have life. Because you do not search the scriptures. You do not believe that I am your creator. You don't believe that I am your sustainer. That you don't believe that I am your judge. You don't even believe that I am your savior. Because at the very beginning, we don't know of who is this God revealed through the Jews as the first recipient of the oracles of God. And this is this scripture that honors God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in verse 41, I receive not honor from men. It is not from the presence of the men around me. It is not because of any form of religion that promoted me that I have this honor. It was made mention at the very beginning. Even in Genesis 3:15, it's already mentioning and foreshadowing the coming of the Messiah. So believing in the Old Testament, believing in the Scripture at the very beginning will help us and cause us to see clearly what is in the New Testament. What is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in here? That's the importance of the Scripture in the Old Testament. And the Lord Jesus Christ continues to say, even I know you. And it is interesting here in verse 42, that when the Lord says, I know you, I had known you, he says. It is in the perfect tense by which he knew already these people. You will not come to me because I know you didn't have the love of God. And this is what implying that those who don't want to open the scriptures, to search the scriptures, even at the beginning in the Old Testament, if you don't have that appetite, if you don't have that hunger, if you do not have that desire to learn of what was foretold and prophesied, that just shows and reveals your heart. You didn't have the love of God. For the love of God was revealed and clearly portrayed in the Old Testament. There are many churches and many Christians who think that, oh, I will just study the God of the New Testament. Because the God of the Old Testament is so cruel, full of wrath, full of killings, full of slaughter, full of murder. I don't like that God. I want the God of the New Testament. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. He's full of love. He's full of grace. But the covenant of grace started in the Old Testament. It started in Genesis 3:15. When the Lord Jesus, when the Lord God declared, from now on, I know you are not able to come to me by your own self. You are totally depraved. You are spiritually dead. And you are facing eternal death. And I must intervene. And I promise you that the seed of the woman, the Messiah, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And though he is still future, when you continue to obey and keep what I require you in faith to offer sacrifices, to give these offerings, that foreshadows your faith in the coming Messiah. Just like in the offering of the animals to be sacrificed. That pictures and portrays how the Lord Jesus Christ will die for us. Your faith in these offerings, your faith in these sacrifices, is a faith that is for that Messiah who is coming. So the grace of God starts from the Old Testament. Do not think that the God of the Old Testament is a cruel God. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have that God. And not only that, this Judeo-Christian faith that we have, the Christian faith, which started in the giving of the oracles to the Jews, is based on the scripture, It is also a faith that is based on the faith of the fathers. You see, in verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am come in my Father's name. And when he talked about the Father's name, the leaders or the Jewish people in those days should have understood that he was talking of this God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. My Father. That's why they hated much the Lord Jesus Christ, because every time he equated himself with the Father. And they know that this Father he's talking about is their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they don't want anybody to equate with this God, because for them that was blasphemy. But Jesus Christ introduced himself as the Son of this Father. He is himself the Father who came down here on earth, because they knew that in the prophecies in the past, that is what was, or that was foretold. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. But if another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. I told you that I come from the Father, and the Father tells and talks about me in the scriptures, but you don't want to believe on me. You want to believe only on those people whom men give the fame, the name, the honor, and you don't want to receive me. There are many leaders today in many churches around and many religious circles. They are so popular, they are so famous because of men. They appreciate how eloquent they are. They appreciate how charismatic they are in the way they preach, how they can mesmerize the minds and hearts of people, how they are so able to get the attention of many by the way they preach, by the way they smile, by the way they shout, by the way they give their speeches. And people that are gathering to honor them. So in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were those leaders whom men acknowledged as great men, mighty men before them, great high priests. Yet here comes the Lord Jesus Christ in his physical appearance that was not so attractive to people. That's how we judge, by the way, leaders and people today, by their external appearance, the way they speak, the way they stand before you, the way and their voice, how deep they are in saying and voicing out their voice. And that gives the idea that if you have a deep voice, you are somebody who is really a person who is attractive or can do something and can be trusted. That's how we assess people today. And in those days also, that's how they see the Lord Jesus Christ. They look at him. Oh, you're not worth it even to be put as a high priest. Look at yourself. So we see here that men would rather come and promote people who are externally and by the appearance and how they move and walk and speak can attract people, can gather people. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, you are more concerned of these things You refer not on the scriptures. You refer not on the Father. How can ye believe which receive honor of one another? You are just flattering, awarding one another. I will give you PhD. I will give you THD. I will put before your name, Reverend. And then you will be put up there as somebody because you have these titles. You easily believe them because now he is a reverend. You better listen to him. He is now reverend. How can you believe we receive honor one of another? That, and seeketh not the honor that cometh from God only. We should be seeking that honor that cometh from God, and not the honor one from another. I'm not saying you should not have a sense of respect to those whom God has appointed to be leaders and shepherd and pastor to take care of God's flock. We should have, because they are appointed by God. But we have that understanding that our honor must be from God only, and that is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So our faith is based on the scripture and is based on how the fathers in the past have acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Therefore, our faith is centered only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be it is a faith that is the Old and the New Testament, but we have one theme in these two parts of the Bible, or one book, and that is only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is centered on the scripture, centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the Savior. And here in verses 46, or 45 to 47, now the Lord Jesus Christ again bring us to that truth that in our faith must be based on the on what is was written by the prophets or Moses and the prophets. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. He has already foretold. He has already mentioned that there will be a prophet greater than I am. And that speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For ye had believed Moses, ye have believed in me. And there are many writings from the Genesis to Deuteronomy about the Lord Jesus Christ. All that foreshadows, even the Passover, even how they have this tabernacle, and up to the temple, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. If ye believed Moses, ye believed in me. That's why it's important that we have to know also the Old Testament. We have to understand what has been prophesied. Because if we don't understand those things, we can hardly appreciate what is being taught in the doctrines in the New Testament. That's why the apostles, the writers of the Gospels, will always go back to the Old Testament to focus on what was written, what was prophesied. Matthew and the different writers of the Gospels always return back to the Old Testament to refer to what they have written about the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in the book of Acts and the epistles, it always refer back to the Old Testament. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? If you do not believe in the Old Testament, and these churches that I have mentioned earlier that talks only and learn only and understand only that part of the epistles because they believe that that's the only relevant for us as Gentiles, they are actually denying the greater part of the doctrines of the Messiah, of the Savior, because it was revealed or prophesied, foretold even in the past through Moses and the prophets. So what is the significance in knowing this? That it is centered in the Scripture, it is focused in the Savior, and also in the writings of Moses and the prophets. This is our faith. If we know this, that it is a fixed one, it is specific, and it has been revealed for us, we are people who are secured. We are not easily deceived, and we can't be deceived. In these end times, we are facing so many of these false teachers and false Christ and false religions. False teachers are increasingly around us. And if we are ignorant of what has been taught in the past, we can easily be deluded and be deceived of the things of the present. For there are many teachers, even in some evangelical churches and seminaries today, that do not believe in the things of the Old Testament. Do not believe in the doctrine of creation, do not believe in the miracles in the Old Testament. And if they don't believe on this, how can we believe on the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and most especially in His resurrection? You see how important it is to know and understand the Scriptures in the past in order for us to see what is revealed and fulfilled in the New Testament. So the Lord Jesus Christ clearly says here that if we believed Moses, and that refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, we believe in Him. We can believe in Him. And if we disregard what was written by Moses and the prophets, we also disregard the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason why when that man, that rich man who came, when he died, was cast into hell. And then he asked Abraham, send forth Lazarus back into earth, so that he can witness to my brethren, to my siblings, that there is such a place like hell, like this place that I am tormented now. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Scriptures. It's already clearly revealed in the Scriptures what will be your end. Even Moses declared and have written and has written in the book of Genesis that if you disobey and you do not do and follow what the Lord said to Adam and Eve, or to Adam first, says, thou shalt surely die. And the promise of the Messiah was given, and the promise of deliverance was given. If we are well aware of the whole Scripture, we are protected by the many deceptions today. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ in His commission, He said, you teach, that means to make disciples of men and baptize them. And after that, there is continued teaching, that is all things that whatsoever I have commanded you. And so it is important that when we come to worship, we understand God's word here. And it is important also for us to participate in our Sunday school, in the many avenues that God has given us, in the nuggets of truth, in the prayer time that we have, where we have the word of God shared also, in many fellowship meetings that we have, where the word of God is taught, in many Bible studies that are given to us, where the Word of God is opened and taught, we must be searching the Scriptures. We must be looking to understand what is in there. For the Lord Jesus Christ says that it is through these Scriptures that you will come to me and you will honor me. But if you will not search the Scriptures, that shows that you do not even love me. And you don't want to acknowledge me that I am from the Father. And if you believe not Moses and the prophets, how can you say you believe in me? How can we say we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord when we don't have even appetite of His Word? We do not have hunger to learn of what He is and who He is and how He is doing in our life and how He can provide for us what we need in our daily lives. Our attitude towards the Scripture, our attitude towards the book, our attitude towards the prophecies will show our attitudes towards the Savior. And there were a group of people who truly searched the Scripture, even if it was the Apostle Paul who preached to them. The Berean Christians. And you know what was the honor that the Bible described of these Christians? They were described as nobles. Noble Christians. Noble because they searched the Scriptures. Noble not because they were of kingly and royal families. They were not wealthy people. They were not great people. They were not people who were famous and well known. They were made or identified as noble because they searched the Scripture. And the Judeo-Christian faith goes back to the Scriptures. And I pray that that will be our attitude and desire of every member here in this church to learn God's Word. Personally, we have our Bible reading. If you are so busy, really caught up in so many assignments, appointments in the work, you can read a few verses a day and ask God to give you understanding. Please don't allow the day to finish, the sun to set down, to set without opening your Bible, without reading a verse or two or a passage. And when there are opportunities for Bible studies and fellowship meetings and gatherings to know the Word of God, let us pray that the Lord will provide us a time. Surely He will give us. And pray that we will have that hunger for the Word of God. The desire to know the Word of God. For that is what is needful for us to really know who He is. I pray we have to pray for one another. We have to desire that we have the time to read His Word, to meditate upon it. And if there are times that we can spend, we have to open our Bibles. There are many, even in the Bible colleges today, they have more time to watch YouTube than the Bible. So sad. Well, they say, well, I'm watching YouTube because I'm watching some preaching. Yes. But are you really meditating upon God's Word? Or are you just switching on that preaching because somebody passed by? I pray we have to open our Bibles. It is the Judeo-Christian faith to focus on the Scriptures and to focus on the Savior, to focus on what was written by Moses and the prophet. And I pray we have that heart for the Lord Jesus Christ clearly tells us, if we don't believe, if we don't hunger, if we don't search, if we don't look at the scriptures on what was written by Moses and the prophets, he says here, how can you believe? I pray the Lord will be gracious and merciful to us all, that from now on we have to pray for one another, that we have the desire to read God's word, study it, not just in the epistles, starting from the book of Genesis. Read a verse or two a day if you are so busy. Make it a habit, not a habit of just reading, but to ask God what it means. And when you read it, pray that the Lord will grant you understanding how to apply it in your lives. Apply it in my life. And I pray the Lord will help us. In these days of deception, we need to know the Word of God, for we may end up being deceived and deluded by so many false teachers and false Christ around. Let us pray.